Well, the most common question we have received since being in Las Vegas, in fact, even when we were over there, is what do the Americans think? Well, let's find out from a senior reporter with the New York Post. I met him briefly, actually, in the media area before the games kicked off. Mark Cannizzaro has covered a lot of major sporting events, particularly golf, and I believe I'm right in saying he's covered over 100 major championships over the years. So he's used to being at elite sporting events, and he was a very curious observer last weekend at Allegiant Stadium, and he's written about the game and his experience. Mark's on the line. Thanks for joining us, Mark. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Andrew. Thank you.
Before we get to your report on the experience, what expectations did you have arriving at the stadium last Saturday?
Well, honestly, selfishly speaking, Andrew, it was kind of a stimulating week for me because I've covered the same sports for, 40 years or whatever. I mean, obviously, you mentioned the golf I cover. I cover a lot of American football here. You know, I've pretty much covered every sport in America. But I'd never, not only that, I've never covered a rugby league match, but I'd actually never even seen one live. You know, I've seen some, scattered stuff on television periodically. So it was kind of a stimulating assignment for me to go out and do that because it was an opportunity to kind of get to know something I didn't know much about. And I certainly wasn't going to become an expert of all the nuances of the game, but I through speaking to a lot of people like yourself and a couple of, good Aussie buddies of mine who are very much into rugby league, they schooled me up a bit before I went out there. So I had the basics down, and so the anticipation for Saturday, for the matches, Saturday our time, obviously, in the U.S., in Vegas, was pretty high because I was, I was pretty fired up. At that point now I kind of knew some of the storylines amongst the players. You got a lot of great personalities on these four clubs that were participating, and I loved it. I mean, I got to tell you, obviously I did write about it, about my impression of it, and as somebody who covers American football, I see these guys crunching into each other with helmets and pads, but these guys are hitting each other probably harder without helmets and pads than the NFL guys do. So I thought that was fascinating. I loved kind of, soaking in the strategy of it all a little bit. And I thought it was thrilling. I mean, honestly, it sold me as if I see it on television, or I know it's going to be on television, say Fox Sports or something, FS1 here in the States, I'll tune in.
The TV figures weren't overly impressive. I think 60-odd thousand for the first game, 40-odd thousand for the second game. But is that a base point that can grow, given that there's a five-year deal for these games to be over there?
Oh, I think it will. You talk about those are the U.S. numbers,
yes,
right? Is that what you just said?
Yep.
That's not surprising to me. The other thing is what I would say that was probably a little bit difficult for the States, Andrew, is, with the time difference from the West Coast time for, to us in New York, for example, the first match didn't start till 9:30 at night. The second match didn't start till 11:30 Eastern time, so those are not prime time number times for the East Coast, which is very, has a very large viewership. So that could be a little bit of an excuse for those lowish numbers. But, also, listen, I think it was much more of a curiosity factor for those who were in Las Vegas, say the American crowd, amongst the Aussies that were there. There was a curiosity factor to see it live. But I think what you guys did with rugby league is dip a toe in the water, the American waters, so to speak, is what NRL did. And, I love the fact that you've made the league has made a five-year commitment to come back, because I do think that it can build it and grow it more as there's more awareness. This was, like I said, this was kind of a good start. And, one of the things I brought up, Andrew, in the, not the gas bag here, but I guess I'm already doing that. in the column that I wrote, one of the things that I was a little disappointed by and a little taken aback by when I was in Vegas during the week and the lead up was the lack of accessibility amongst the players for the media. And, we, the media, are the ones that kind of, allow the general public and the fans and the curious people who are not aware of these personalities. That's a way for these people to get to know the players, and the players are the ones that are going to sell this game, right?
And you're also used to covering American sport, Mark, where NFL, I follow baseball very closely. You get, I'm sure with the NBA and the NHL, you get amazing access to players before games, even on game day.
Yes. I mean, the National Football League is probably the least accessible, but at least there are designated times. I'll just give you a Super Bowl weekend as an example, and that's obviously this was the first go round, obviously. But during Super Bowl week, which was in Vegas 3 weeks prior, the NFL kind of takes everything over, and they basically say, okay, the players are going to be available on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday at these designated times for the media, and it's not a lot of time; it's an hour or whatever for each team. And I don't think it needs to be that much for the rugby league teams, but I do really believe that when they go back next year, I think it's important for NRL to make, the players for all four teams available, for at least a couple three days, at least a couple days prior to the match. Because again, the players, you've got so many great personalities, and Latrell Mitchell, and you go down the line, every team has got a handful of guys that are just, obviously stars in the sport, and you guys are in Australia, you know about them, but if you're trying to sell this game in America, you want the American the American sporting fans to know about Latrell Mitchell and I'm using him as as an example, but obviously, the Trbojevic, brothers, who I wrote about. I mean, these are good, cool stories that you want the public to know about, and so that when they're watching the matches, they have a little bit of a feel for, these three brothers that are starting, for Manly, and down the line. So, I think that's hopefully something that NRL will have learned this go round, and as it goes back next year. It's going to improve on its presentation of the product, right? And I mean, it should. But I think that's my only constructive criticism, really, about how the week went. Because quite frankly, there was really just one day where there was availability, and that was kind of on the Wednesday, and it was a little scattered. They just had one player from each club there, at the Resorts World there, and it was, kind of catch as catch can. I think they need to kind of button that up a little bit and try to make it a little bit more organized. But I tell you what, I thought the fan fest they did on the Friday night
incredible.
Was spectacular.
Yeah.
That was a great way for the fans, kind of an intimate, if you will, even though there were 5,000 people there or so, they said, the estimate were, that was a place for the fans to see these players up close, as close as they could have gotten to that red carpet and stuff. So I thought they did a great job with that. I thought it was a very successful week that can just only be enhanced as it goes forward next year.
I'm talking to Mark Cannizzaro from the New York Post, and his article on the game is easy to find online. But Mark, other than your reporting, have you noticed much reaction to the games in the US?
It's funny. I've got a lot of email feedback from readers because obviously. Rugby and rugby league is not prevalent in the States, but it is a very, very niche sport in terms of participation and people that have played it in college, and they still have some kind of informal leagues and stuff. I know there's some stuff here in New York City where I live. So I think because of that, because there's such so little coverage, and I kind of use soccer, our soccer over here, if you will, as an example here, where the MLS, the Major League Soccer, does not get a lot of coverage. It depends on the city you're at, but certainly in New York, where there's so much stuff going on, our two teams here, the Red Bulls and the NYCFC, don't get a lot of coverage. So when there is coverage, I think fans get pretty fired up about it. And I've gotten that certainly feel from some of the feedback. I've gotten really a lot of email from readers, fired up about the fact that we covered the rugby and the fact that it was getting some attention. And a lot of them were kind of expats, rugby league fans are literally over in the States now, and missing their sport, just seeing it on, streaming or whatever they're seeing it on, how they're watching it. So I think I got a lot of reaction, and I was a little bit surprised at how much reaction I got, to be honest with you, because people were paying attention. And again, I think this was, again, just a start and, you know, of the 5-year commitment, and hopefully this will open more people's eyes, you know, going forward, you know, as they keep doing this for the next few years.
Two more questions, Mark, and I'll let you go. Vegas is a venue for these things. A lot of people have asked why Vegas are worried about players and potential security issues, but it's getting a reputation as hosting these major sporting events. They had the Super Bowl there, the Raiders play there, the Golden Knights ice hockey team. You've got the University of Las Vegas basketball team. You've got a women's basketball team. The day we left, they had Carlos Alcaraz playing Rafael Nadal at the Mandalay Bay. They had the NASCAR racing on the weekend. They do now host a lot of major sporting events. Is this the ideal destination?
I think it's a good destination. I think it was a really good destination. Now, you know, to the players and whoever getting into trouble, you can get into trouble in any city, as you well know. I'm sure you get into trouble in Sydney or New York City just as much as you get in trouble in Vegas. You know, I mean, obviously Vegas has its reputation, but I honestly thought it was the perfect spot. It's a good time of year, you know, that NRL begins its season in terms of America because, you know, the football has just finished up for us here. You know, the NFL season had just finished 3 weeks prior. And Vegas, you know, it's a flashy place. I thought it was the perfect place, to be honest with you. I mean, I don't feel like it's a good place for people to travel. Obviously, you know, there were 14,000 Aussies that made the trip over, you know.
They're talking 30,000 next
obviously
year.
Pardon me?
They're talking 30,000 next year.
Oh, I mean, see, that's even better. And, you know, the thing is, those Aussies are going to get the word out to the Americans to some degree. I mean, they're out and about in Vegas. Vegas is a tourist town. You know, it's always teeming with tourists anyway. So I think in that way, you know, they're out at the pubs and whatnot. They're talking about the matches. I know this, you know, for fact that this took place, you know, where some of the Aussies were talking Americans into coming to the matches. You know, the price is right. I mean, I think you can get in there, get in the building for, I think, $19, which is, you know, just as an example, the Super Bowl, the cheapest ticket was just under $1,000. That was face value. So, yeah, I liked Vegas that way because, you know, it has the tourist appeal and it has the hotel rooms. Maybe if you came to New York City, it might have gotten a little bit lost in the shuffle.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of sports going on here, even now, you know, with our hockey and our basketball. You know, Vegas is a little bit neutral, I guess, even though they do have a hockey, you know, they certainly have a hockey team and a football team. But, I thought Vegas was actually a really good spot for it. And I think it's a good spot, you know, for NRL to stick to this plan. And I love hearing the fact that you say that they're talking about maybe 30,000 traveling next year. Because, you know, I think that 14,000 that came over helped multiply the number to what it was on Saturday.
Right.
You know, which was, you know, announced a little bit over 40,000, which I thought was terrific. And, I, you know, hopefully that number will go up next year.
And just finally, Mark, and most importantly, will you be back next year? Will you be talking your colleagues and friends into testing it out next year?
Well, I will say this. I would raise my hand to go back and to my editor and say, hey, listen, are we doing this again? Because I thought it was great. I'd love to do it. Obviously, you know, this year was a bit of a novelty. So I think, you know, I feel like that was one of the reasons why they sent me to go this year. You know, full disclosure, I mean, we are, you know, we're a News Corp and Australian corporation, so to speak. So there's a lot of interest, you know, Aussie interest, you know, on that level as well. And I mean, Lachlan Murdoch, you know, the son of our owner is one of the owners of the Broncos. So there was a lot, you know, obviously there were reasons to be there, you know, and I would like to think that we'd keep doing it because I certainly did enjoy covering it. And I think it's worth doing again without question. And judging by the feedback I got from the readership in my work email response, mailboxes, I think it was well taken.